Blog Talk Radio.
Some people try to pick up girls, get called an asshole. This never happened to Pablo Picasso. Why, he could walk down the street, girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Not like you. Now the girls have turned the color of an avocado. When he drive down the street in his El Dorado, why he was only 5'3", girls could not resist his stare. Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. That's New York. Girls get called an asshole. This did not happen to Pablo Picasso. Why? He could walk down the street. Girls could not resist his stare. Subsequently, Pablo Picasso was never called an asshole. Nope. Not right here. Not like you.
To annoy you and make things generally irritating.
The BBC would like to apologize for the following announcement.
It's clobbering time.
because I've yet to find my place. I'm guarding 2814. I don't know why it's chosen me, but from the corner of my eye I catch a glimpse of evil light. The fear tries to swallow me like I'm just some guy with an emerald.
Issue number, boy, text, you're going to kill me, I always forget it. I think it's 428, but it could be 429. And somewhere up in there, does it really, 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 really matter? No, it doesn't. Anyway, welcome everyone here to a big Clubbing Time sort of special thingy with a maybe surprise guest call-in. We're hoping, we don't know, but tonight we're going to talk about, well, I should do everything right, huh? Tonight we're going to talk about stuff. We're going to talk about a comic book legend that I will be meeting Saturday. But first, true believers, and I played the Green Lantern song because this legend actually worked on Green Lantern, and, you know, I guess it was the closest thing I could come up with anything related to the great Mike Grell, comic book artist extraordinaire from the Bronze Age, and one of my favorite from, and also comic writer and artist as well. And I'll be meeting him again, as I said, at the great Three Alarm Comics Saturday for a big signing there. My good friend Scott Everman should be picking up Mr. Grell at the airport as we speak. Well, I'm hoping, and maybe we'll talk to him if he gets a chance to call in. But, of course, to get started, though, we should do all of our usual intros and stuff. I barely got home in time, so I guess that's why I'm kind of going too fast. Sometimes it's tough for me to get home in time to do this. Not that anybody is keeping score or anything, though. Yeah, we know they're not. But anyway, I'm glad you're here. And also those. Thank you. Of course, every Monday and Friday night here on the Grenache Network on Blog Talk Radio, we try to bring you the geekiest and geekertainment. And, of course, that is done, of course, by the fabulous Commodore Decker, the great R.J. Gumby. Hey there, Gumby. What's up, buddy? You're right, Gumby. I need to quit my damn job. but I can't. But I need to. Decker Gumby, Wendy and the gang bring you the fine, outrageously crazy recordings. Fun, cool people to have a conversation with. And of course, again, this is scientifically documented as fact. The wildest chat room on BTR. That's Mondays and Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. And of course, Saturday nights, it's that great Daddy G, 9 p.m. Eastern, and Benji and the gang on Sunday nights with Dirty Sons of Pitches, 9 p.m. Eastern also. And here in Clobber Time, I don't know, we're trying to get you, try to do two shows a week, but sometimes it's tough for me to make that happen. I knew I'd barely get home in time tonight, but because of the big Mike Grell signing, because we might have a chance to talk to Mr. Grell. If we don't, I will definitely interview him Saturday. I thought, you know, I had to be here, so, you know, I missed Tuesday night. Sorry, my good friends. Trekkie Gal, Clobber and Dime's best pal. It is lovely and wonderfully to see you. excuse me. What are we doing? Okay. And so I thought I would, well, talk a little bit about the historic career of Mr. Mike Grell, because he's always been one of my favorite. And, of course, he also was a writer. He wrote and drew a lot. He's one of those, you know, at the time that he started, for the most part, in the Bronze Age of comics, Mr. Grell was one of the first ones, not the first or anything like that, but he was one of the ones who started, after initially drawing comics for other writers at DC, and, of course, drawing the Tarzan strip before that for, I forget which syndicated strip company. He eventually started writing his own stuff. But before that, of course, I became a big, big fan of his on Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. There's a big, anyone knows me knows I love the Legion of Superheroes and Superboy, of course. And the title was Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, of course. And always loved Grell. Greatest American Hero, Rick. All right, buddy. Great to see you there, man. I've always loved Mike Grell's work. And from his early days, he worked with other artists, and again, other writers for a while. Indeed, Trekkie Gal. What? Oh. On Green Lantern, Green Arrow, and other things before he started writing and drawing. Yeah, I see what you mean. I wasn't sure what you were referring to there, TG. Yes, it's a shock that I'm a Legion fan. I know that comes as a big shock. No one ever knew that, ever. He created and drew Warlord, wrote and drew Warlord, of course, for many, many years for DC. And then later, during the independent boom, the comic shop independent boom of the 1980s, which I was running comic shops at the time, which some of the most amazing independent comics, really, I mean, the 80s was the decade. We've done a show about it once. It was the decade for the independent comics market in terms of I left my power ring in the other room and my flight ring, too. I should be wearing my flight ring. Maybe I'll wear it to go see Grell, TG, who knows. But the 80s was the big time for independent comics at comic shops where they really got the most notice. And one of my favorites was, of course, John Sable, created and drawn and written and drawn by Mike Grell. And more Blog Talk Radio glitchiness, it sounds like there. Rick, sorry about that, buddy. Sadly, all too commonplace these days on BTR. You know, it's just a dang shame, as they say. Sorry about that, buddy. I wish I knew what to do. I have no no text here to do my my sound checking. So if anyone, I hope everyone else has a sound. It looks like they may. Damn you, bastardy glitch machine, BTR. I'm getting beeps into my. Ugh. All right. Well, yeah, they're still waiting to pick him up. Maybe the next hour, we don't know, Mike Grell might be able to call in. We're not too sure. But I hope it can happen, yes. Anyway, I don't know if any of you were buying a comic in the 80s. Thanks, God. Appreciate it, bro. Stable, again, for me, was one of the best. And I guess, after a while, Grell did leave the series, his own series. But before he did, that was one of the best. There were, you know, one time we did a show. We'll probably need to do it again. Do another one because it's been so long. A show about the independent comics of the 80s. But I think my favorite Grell work still will probably, I guess because, again, shocker, I love Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. His run on that series, even with the Jim Shooter writing, Shooter was okay on there. Just kidding. And in spite of, I guess I should point out, in spite of the Vince Coletta inking, which I do believe, I'm not sure if it was the entire run of Grell on Legion, but it was a lot of them. And nevertheless, he pretty much defined the Legion of the Bronze Age, or certainly the early Bronze Age. And he's amongst my favorite of Legion artists, and my favorite artists on that title are by no means Legion. There's a scant few that I really love on the Legion books. Obviously, my favorite era of Legion is Bronze Age, although I love reading all the Silver Age reprints, and I have those as well. The greatest era for the Legion, however much I love the Kurt Swan stuff and the Edmund Hamilton stuff and the Silver Age stuff of the 60s, actually late 50s and 60s, my favorite is the Bronze Age Legion. That started up, it really got going anyway, with the great work of Dave Cockrum, and then Grell took over for years. James Sherman was great. Pat Broderick for a short stint. Keith Giffen until he went wacky. There were some great artists on Legion, Steve Lytle, even Greg Lowe wrote to a point, but Grell, I don't know, he might be, it's tough for me to pick a favorite Legionnaire artiste, but I don't know. I guess I probably go with Grell on that. Maybe a sentimental favorite there. And he did a lot of other things. So like I said, he did work on strips. He did Tarzan. He did the syndicated Tarzan strip for a long time. He did Green Lantern, Green Arrow. He took over that right after the classic Hard Traveling Heroes. Denny O'Neill, Neil Adams run after. Oh, actually, when the book came back much later. Did a couple of Batman things here and there. Warlord was the one where he kind of established himself as a writer, I think. And again, I'm not sure if it was the first thing he wrote or not. Because, you see, I never really get a chance to refresh my memory on anything and do any show prep because, well, I get here at the very end. I don't know what happens. Thanks, TG. I appreciate that. Oh, dear. We've lost R2. I mean, TG. Or something like that. And I got to meet Grell about a couple of years back for a brief moment at the Wizard World Con in New Orleans and got him to sign one of my prized Grell possessions, which was the Superboy in the Legion of Superheroes Treasury Edition. Edition, yes. Wow, all this noise I keep getting in my... Oh, never mind. We'll still talk Grell and stuff like that, but Rick, anything you have to share about the, I totally forgot about that when I wrote, of course, we're still going to talk Grell and we may even get to talk to him. I don't know, but, our good friend, greatest American hero, Rick, went to something I would have loved to go to. Always wanted to go to that. They have, it's an annual event. He went this past weekend to the, and this was the 75th anniversary version of it, in Metropolis, Illinois, the annual Superman celebration, which has a bit of a connection to Grell in the sense that Grell, again, worked on Superboy and the Legion. Rick, I bet you had just an amazing time, no question about it. And whenever you do get the chance, you want to call and tell us anything about it, of course, we would love to hear about it. Because one of these days, I've always said it, I've never been to the Superman Museum in Metropolis, and I have to remedy that one day. Just have to do it. And speaking of Superman, here we go. He also says, got to jab at the walk in the editor's door and asked, literally as the previous day, Cog was walking out of the door, having just quit. Wow. Well, TG, I need to, I actually am trying to come up with some questions for Grell. Maybe I'll ask him about that. Wow. Grell Inc., a Crocker and Pencil story. Yeah, I have that one. Issue number 202. I have all of those, all of the Grell Legions in multiple formats, actually. Yeah, so, well. Yes, I do have to come up with some questions to ask Grell, TG, so. You got the sound back? Good, good. Acid Rock Radio, you old dog, you. Wow. Everyone, our good buddy Acid Rock Radio on his furlough from Arkham Asylum. They let him out of Arkham Asylum whenever I'm on. Whenever you see Acid Rock Radio pop in there, it means Arkham Asylum has let him out temporarily to listen to the show. And once it's over, do not fear. The streets of Gotham will be safe because he will be put right back in the psycho ward, as if the whole thing is a psycho ward, isn't it, of Arkham Asylum. Oh, man. TG and Acid, that's always fun. Oh, my goodness. Man, I miss all the good stuff. Well, what the hell. Anyway, look, Rick. If you want to call in and talk about that Superman celebration, that'll work. I'm not going to get too far into what's going. We all know that some people, anyway, consider today a fairly significant event in the history of Superman. I do not, because there's nothing to do with Superman going on today. There's a movie opening up that some people are confusing to have to do with Superman. And I don't want to get too riled up over it, yeah. Which is, I know, rare for me. But what the hell? Okay, never mind. But there is a movie opening, I believe, tomorrow. Actually, premiering tonight, probably opening tomorrow. Called Man of Rubber, I think it is. That's something to do with some guy who wears a weird rubbery costume. Try for the record of most Superman. Oh. Well, I hear you, Rick. Wow. Acid Rock Radio comes right out of the box with his trolling. I could just watch those two go back and forth all day, Acid Rock Radio and TG, since we don't have any specific set. What? Oh, what's wrong with this? Oh, crap, this switchboard is foobar. There's something going on in the movie theaters this weekend that some people are confusing with Superman. I'm not going to do any spoiling, okay? I will not do any spoiling for those who want to see it. And by the way, I think this movie comes pre-spoiled anyway. But there are people who inexplicably want to watch the movie Man of Rubber. Now, let me tell you, I have no problem with people who want to see it. We've talked this to death, I guess, but, you know, now it's kind of relevant because it is coming up. Man of Rubber opens tonight, tomorrow, whatever. But for the longest time, we have known a great deal about the content of the movie, a great deal about what to expect. Just a lot of info has been out there. There's no question about it. And now, there have been a lot of reviews, and there have been a lot of people who just put everything that happens in the movie online. It's all over the net. And because I'm one of the ones, bitching the loudest, because I just don't think this was the way Superman should have been done, I don't like the direction at all. I don't like Christopher Nolan getting his hands on it. I don't like Zack Snyder being involved. And now that I know everything that happened, no, I've not seen it. And by the way, I believe I should watch it. Because if you're going to bitch, you know, when it, you know, you can bitch. I have no problem with people talking about any film before it comes out. Why not? You know, it's a topic of conversation in geek circles, and a lot of people will get angry with you at the slightest mention of the movie. Like, how dare you talk about it? You haven't even seen it yet. But, you know, they can go on and off about how great it looks. But if you say, yeah, it kind of sucks, I don't really like what they're doing there, you know, you're bad. I mean, you're a bad person. Well, it's almost out now, and because I have been one of the ones who has expressed much disapproval of the people who are involved in taking over, well, again, if you're out there making the noise, you should watch it. And if you don't care about seeing it, fine. If you're saying, look, I don't want to watch that crap, I respect, like you just said, like you just said, TG, you don't care about it, and so that's fine. It's not my Superman, but I think I have an obligation to watch it. I just don't want to pay anything to see it because I don't want to support it. I don't mind, you know, it's not like I'm a cheapskate. I don't have enough money to be a cheapskate, but I'm going to watch it. But I would rather watch that and Into Dumbness. I would rather watch it, you know, a download, because I don't want to pay any money to support it. It's not about, you know, getting off your ass and going to the theater, even sitting through 28 minutes of that crap. But since I don't really care about it, I'm never one who's really bothered by spoilers. I read everything that's in it. You know, people who are telling all the different things that happen in it. Happens with movies now. It just does. And I already know enough to know it's not Superman. And it's getting bad reviews, and it's getting other people who like it a lot. You can't look, I never believe, they don't put much stock in reviews anyway. If you want to see a movie, go see it. And if you don't know, don't let a review. You know, it's easy. I totally get that. You know what? I think anyone eat, that's fine too. I believe, you know, since I'm the one, I make a lot of noise, I should watch it and judge it, that, you know, and have the info. Even with the stupid Jar Jar Abrams Trek filth, whatever it is, I just believe that way. Just me. The only thing I don't, I understand anyone going, yeah, well, whatever, I'll go watch it. I get that from the people who have been so looking forward in what we know about it. I don't get how you could love Superman and look forward to that. I mean, no matter what happens, he's in that horrible, nasty, disgusting costume. It's all the other things we know about it are just disturbing. But nevertheless, a whole lot of people are really, really excited about it. I've been going after Snyder for a long time, acid. I mean, I didn't like what he did to Watchmen. I kind of liked 300 for some silly reason. It was a dopey, fun thing. Did not like the way he did Watchmen for the most part, other than visually. I'm embarrassed to admit to you that I got dragged a stupid piece of crap Sucker Punch, but which I'm very embarrassed that I actually let myself get talked into it, and it was horrible. But, yeah, you know. I don't. The guy's terrible. He's a horrible director. He's all about butt visuals. And to a point where it becomes sickening. I mean, anyway, what we do know about the movie is pretty disturbing, to be honest with you. But look, a lot of our friends are going to go see it, and a lot of people, because I bitch so much, expect me to watch it. I really don't want to go to a theater. I mean, I would if I could get in for free. And by the way, another thing about that, TG, my good buddy Scott, who's got the at Morphon, the what was it, the Three Alarm Comics, who has the Mike Grell signing, He offered me, very graciously, it was very nice of him, I could go up there with him tomorrow night and go watch the movie with Mike Grell and the gang. And I'm like, wow, if I'd be tempted just to do that with him and meet him and stuff, but I'm going to see him Saturday. But anyway, I'd have to stay overnight or, you know, commute back and forth in a long way. And so, yeah, I just can't do it. There we go. Okay, let's see. Greatest American Hero, Rick. Some of the people at the Metropolis. Sorry about the sound, buddy. Metropolis, you had Ron Frenz, Brett Breeding, Chris Sprouse, Art Balazar, Balthazar, that is. Jim Alden. Well, that's some good artists there, man. Justin. Jerry the King Lawler. Well, excellent. I always like Sprouse and Frenz. Well, that's great, man. And like I say, Rick, I would really love to go there. I really want to go there one day. Well, I'm with you there, TG. Snyder's an idiot. But what can you do? Not everyone agrees. There are people who are they indiscriminate? Is it just me? They can watch Superman act the way he does in this movie and have no problem with it. I can't do that. At least not without having a problem. So I don't know. Sometimes you start looking at yourself and you think, wow, what's wrong with me that I can't put up with this? I won't, and there are people who will just, I don't know, they'll just suck it up. Whatever that gets put out there. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't get it. But, hey. And they'll just go, yeah, I mean, no, we don't know entirely that is going to be the case. I'm really hoping this thing bombs. I'm really hoping the people who see it will go, all right, I gave it a fair shot, and it's bad. Really hope that happens. But I guess I shouldn't count on it, should I? What are we going to have to deal with when the backlash of this thing comes out? Oh, man. I'm sorry, Rick. Oh, God. Dude, sorry about that. Let's see here. I know you can't even hear me when I say. That suckles. Friggin' Thursday nights, man. I don't know. It's crap. Sorry about that, brother. Oh, well. Well, at least it'll be reserved. But what was? Oh, by the way, let's see here. Arlen Schumer. I know you're not hearing me now, but dude, really? I posted a link. Let's see if I can find it here on the BBB. The Blackstone Building basement about the Mike Grell show, and of course talking about it. Oh, here we go. What an asswipe. Here we go. Arlen, dude, what a weenie. I knew he would get pissed off at me though. I just said, you know, Joe, we're going to talk about the career of comics great Mike Grell, and he got mad. He took issue with me calling him comics great. Are you kidding me? Never thought the guy could draw well, though, like Spawns McFarlane. He makes up for it with E for effort, but man, his anatomy, his Neil Adams swipes. Ugh. Yeah, I'm like, oh, dude. And so I went off at him, and he didn't like it. Boy, what the hell? So, Don't agree. Hey, that'd be great. I don't know if you're hearing me, Rick. Sure, Rick, that would be fantastic, man. That one, I gotta type it to you just in case you're not hearing me. Full report, and I will schedule it thus, Rick. We will talk about. Yeah, there we go. We will talk about Metropolis. It'll fit in because at that point, if I haven't seen Man of Rubber yet, I'll have to push the Man of Rubber review show back a bit. So we'll see what happens there. Man, this is going to be rough. You know, TG, if you're hearing me, I guess you're hearing me. This is going to be. And by the way, I've seen Ed pop up a little bit recently. TG, how's he doing? I hope he's doing okay. At least I was worried about the boy, but it looks like he's back on, popping in with some posts on there on the BBB. So man, I'm like, wow, man, good. Ed's there. So hope he's doing all right. All my best to Ed. But TG, it's going to be a rough couple of weeks because depending upon how this thing shakes out. Within the dumbness, I was a little bit surprised because a lot of people who inexplicably liked Steino, Star Trek in name only, I would like to have BK back on here, Rick. But I don't think he wants to come on. But I would love to have him on here. You know, I'd love to have Brian back on the show again if he ever wants to. He's more than welcome. It would be, you know, it's been a long time. I miss talking to him. So if he wants to, he has an open invitation for all. Always, sir. Always. So. Where were I? But, yeah, you know, so a lot of people, TG, who inexplicably liked Steino, you know, the first one from 2009. Well, thanks, Rick. Like I got to say, would love to have him on. And so he is always welcome here, always. I'd love to have Trekkie Kim on, too. I talk to Kim all the time, a good bit now, and one of these days I'm going to get her back on here. Yep, I miss her being on the show. So within the dumbness, I almost caught kind of a break, TG, because there were actually a lot of people that liked the last one for some strange reason and didn't like it too much. It was a weird thing. Well, that's good, TG. I'm glad he's doing okay. Wow, he was Orko? Wasn't he also Uncle Dudley like he's done before? I think he does an Uncle Dudley costume as well, does he not, Rick? I think he does. Yeah, so cool. Nice. He does that perfectly. Yeah, he does a great Uncle Dudley, that's for sure. All right, TG, well, good. We want to hear from Ed again one of these days. Just let us know when he wants to call, and we'll be here. But, yeah, so what I was saying, TG, basically, is this is with Man of Rubber coming out, it's sort of a similar thing to what went on in 2009, possibly. Yes, Uncle Dudley. He did do an Uncle Dudley costume, right? Okay. So many people who are gonna go gaga over this Man of Rubber movie and think that's what, you know. And if it flies, so to speak, pardon the pun, if enough people buy into it, I hope at least, unlike what would happen with the first Jar Jar Abrams Star Trek TG, which I was really disappointed that more of us more of the old school didn't band together and put their foot down, stand and say, no, this is crap. We're not going to stand for it. It's crap. we're not going to deal with it. We're not going to put up with this. They didn't, and that's what gave us another one, and that's what kept it in the garbage can. If this excuse for Superman is rewarded, and it will be, and I'm sad to say it probably will be by the young generation, man. If this, and not just because it's bad Superman, because it's such bad movie storytelling, then we're just going to get more of it. If this thing, the only miracle we have to ever get any kind of, then look, Superman's gone anyway in terms of the comic character's been gone forever, and now the movie. Hopefully, anyone who wants to go see it, it's one thing, that's fine. Hopefully it will be rejected and people will go, look, this is not the way it should go, because not only is it bad for Superman, it's bad for cinema. When you make movies of this low caliber, there's just nothing but effects crap. But, and just, you know, effects, chaos, and noise. Then that's all we're going to get. I mean, that's all we're in for. You know, the original, or the first, nothing original about it, the first Jar Jar Abrams singing, you know, it was rewarded and we got more garbage. If they reward Man of Rubber, then it's over. I mean, you could really just forget, because most, you know, it's not just that it's called Star Trek and it's bad. It's not just that it's called Man of Squeal and it's bad. It's all movies right now all look the same. They're just a bunch of noise and nonsense for the most part now, with no depth in the story. And again, they always seem to feature these mopey, downtrodden, whiny bitch of a characters that it passed for the heroes. I believe the youngsters have a term called emo, where they say, you know, some of these characters get accused of being too emo, I guess. I think we got minimusness here. I think he's got his hand up.
Yeah.
What's up?
I just got a text from Scott Hoverman. He said Mike Grell's flight has been delayed. So probably won't be.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. We'll talk to him Saturday. That's good. I figured that it'll be tough for him. He said it was going to be tough for them to get off the plane in time, but that's cool. No biggie. Where you be?
Yeah, from what I gather, he's been over there quite a while waiting for the plane to land. So, I think if it's possible, he'll call in. If you get a 228 number showing up on there, it's probably gonna be Scott.
Right.
But
nope, I'll watch for it.
Don't pin all your hopes and dreams on it.
Yeah, no big deal. That's cool. I mean, like I said, it was a long shot.
Yeah,
it's not a problem.
It's play Mike. Yeah, it's not like it was some Jim Lee or a media legend like Dan Didio.
Well, like I was talking earlier about, you're not on the BBB anymore, about how I said I was going to be doing a show talking about comics great Mike Grell, and Arlen Schumer took me to task to the woodshed because he doesn't like Mike Grell. And I was like, well, you know, I put a swipe back at him and he got all pissy, but I don't care. Arlen, you're a fool. But we like you. You're just a weenie. You are a weenie, Arlen. I'm not hearing this anyway, so it doesn't matter. Or are you?
Yes.
But that's okay.
Everybody likes Arlen, but he is the most opinionated bastard you're ever going to run across.
Well, I kind of like that about him because I had the title till, as far as I know, I had the title till he came along. I don't know. But.
Yeah, Arlen is like he's a vice admiral and you're an ensign, or he's a 5-star general and you're sad sack when it comes to opinionated bastards.
Yes. Well, I mean, he just likes, after a while you get tired of a long argument thread on Facebook, but he never gets tired of it. I really like Arlen.
Yeah.
it's a fact. But you know, and it's fine. He doesn't like him, but he took exception because he told me how you know he wasn't called. He said he gets to eat forever, but he doesn't like his art. He just his art's not that good, and he rips off his anatomy from Adams, all this other stuff. And I just told him
anybody can be fed. But man, there are so many people. There are so many people that got their style from Adams. Bill Sienkiewicz comes to mind right away, but he progressed.
Yeah.
You look at Mike Grell, and you can tell it's a Mike Grell drawing. If you say it's a guy named Mike Grell drawing like Neil Adams, I'm sorry, Arlen, you're wrong. It's a guy who got his start.
Like
he got his start kind of aping like a lot of people did. Rich Buckler aped everybody.
You can't.
Joe State, believe it or not, did a great Neil Adams.
You know why I didn't say any of this to Arlen? Because you can't.
He's
Mr. One Up. So all I did was I figured I'd just go ahead and piss him off. I wrote, Arlen, you couldn't be more wrong if you were a tenured professor of wrongness at Wrongo University. He hated that. And he got, I'm wrong in my opinion. Arlen, just don't be a weenie.
Yeah.
I like you, Arlen. I'm just like, what do you write? He wrote, is it wrong about what I like? That's what makes a horse race. Okay, whatever, dude.
You can look at many of Mike Grell's covers and see that he's overcome the Adams influence. And I'm sorry, there are guys who were doing Kirby for years.
Right.
There, John Byrne at one time was, I think it was Comic Scene magazine, called him a synthesis of Kirby, Ditko, and Kane. That was John Byrne when he started out. And he has moved on, and he's basically just imitating himself now.
He's influenced, but they're all influenced by somebody. But, you know, he's not a copycat like Sienkiewicz was at the beginning. By any stretch of the imagination.
But Sienkiewicz had a brain explosion or something, and he went totally in a different direction. And some of his stuff is really good, and some of it is really grotesque. Not meaning that it's bad, it's just weird. I mean, look at, I would say somebody like Dave Dorman, at a time you could say that he was heavily influenced by Boris Vallejo and maybe just a touch of Frank Frazetta, but he's his own artist now. I mean, saying that you don't like something and you don't qualify it, other than to say it's my opinion. Sorry, you know, it's your opinion. You don't like it. I like Grell.
Oh yeah. I just did it because there was no way I was going to have a back and forth with him. I just wanted to aggravate him right away, and I did. So.
I have listened to a couple of your radio of your BTR shows with Arlen. There's no such thing as back and forth.
No, you're right about that. There's Arlen and Ford.
It's yada yada yada, and then Mike jumps in with yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
If you could lose your voice from not being allowed to speak, then that could happen with Arlen. Literally. I would try to think of a way to get in to ask him something because it was supposed to be an interview, and I was like, and, you know, now I'm doing this on the air. I'll hear this and get offended, and I'm really concerned about that. And it'd be pretty much like, and then 20,000 minutes later, I'd forget the thing I wanted to ask him. I'm like, and then he would stop. Mike, don't you want to say anything? I don't know anymore. I lost it. It's gone.
What day
Whatever.
Is it?
You just keep going and call me. Keep going and come back in when the streetlights come on.
Yeah. I have reason to kiss Arlen's ass, but I'm going to say, Arlen did the definitive book on art in the Silver Age, Art in the Silver Age.
He's amazing. Yeah, great.
Arlen does these awesome multimedia lectures. He does great work with these pastiches that he does. There's nobody like him, really. He's a genius when it comes to comics history, too. But like us, he is an opinionated bastard. And he has his opinions. And I don't think he gets pissed off at anybody because they have different opinions. He has educated opinions. Well... He told me once when I got into it with him, and I just said, "Hey, what's going on here?" He said, "Oh, you know, I like to bust your balls," And I let him know that my ex-wife got him in the divorce, so there were none left for him to bust. So, Arlen, you're a goddamn genius, but it doesn't mean that you're the sole arbiter of taste and what's good and what's
not.
There are people who listen to this. There are people who cannot stand Frazetta. Right? I don't want to talk to somebody who doesn't like Frazetta.
Or Kirby, even.
There are people who actually start out not liking Kirby, and after they have friends everywhere, force it on them, sort of like pod people. You have to look at this. You think this is all that Kirby did. Vince Coletta is a shitty anchor. That's not Kirby. You look at somebody like Greg Dixon. Man, the guy, like, he takes his freaking time and treats every line that Kirby draws with reverence, and sometimes to the detriment of the art, as in Hunger Dogs, where, you know, you don't change anything that Kirby does. Well, Deekson was a good inker and a good painter over Kirby. There were others. Joe Sinnott is the king of it all. Joe Simon and Jack Kirby, it's kind of hard to tell who did what as far as drawing, and even they would have told you that. But together they had a style that was just so freaking fluid, and it looked like it was moving. Whereas Kirby by himself, whoever inked it, looked like it had just exploded in every panel. But they're the major influences. Like, you can't say Neil Adams doesn't influence anybody. And sadly, you also can't say Jim Lee doesn't influence anybody. Because drawing these coloring book figures and changing the heads once in a while is what people are doing now.
Oh, well. Whoa, Frazetta, yeah. Superman, holy shit. Did you see, that's right. Speaking of Frazetta, what?
I would love to see that. I would love to know if that's real, because somebody posted an inked Frazetta sketch on eBay, and Richard Ory, our real world friend, Richard Ory, who has worked with the greats and is one of the greats now, he posted some nasty remarks about it. Because it is obviously nothing near anything Frazetta did. Maybe somebody traced the Frazetta, or somebody, I don't know, broke their hand and tried to pretend it was Frazetta while he was recovering from the stroke, but it is not Frazetta in any way. This Superman, though, looks like, if it is a Frazetta Superman, it was something that he did and he spent some time on, and it's a nice sketch that I'm guessing he colored it, or somebody that knew what they were doing colored it, because it doesn't look bad. And it does. It
this
has a Frazetta
tough, yeah.
face on it.
It does look good. Wow. But that's, I mean, Frazetta Supes, well, holy shit.
Yeah.
That's weird shit. Yeah.
Yep. Well, this is a guy who worked in comics for a long, long time before he started just doing paintings.
I wonder, where'd they get this from? I'll have to ask J.A. where you got this. Oh, well. No, shite. Anyway, where were we? We were nowhere, like we always are.
We were ragging on Arlen Schumer for not liking Micro.
Yeah, that's true. Arlen, you just got ragged on. No. We'd have you on the show to rag on you, but we wouldn't be able to talk. So. Just kidding.
Yeah.
No, we're not.
We would have to do Morse code at each other.
He is rag on proof if he were actually on the show. So that's all right.
He is rag man.
It's not that we don't care. Yeah, so anyway, Mike Gorrell. Anyway, I talked a good bit about him at the beginning, and my favorite stuff that he did, you know, probably again prejudiced a little bit because of Superboy and the Legion stuff, even though Coletta inked a lot of it. But,
you know the thing about what would Mike Grell have looked like if somebody besides Vince Coletta was there at the office when they said, "Who wants to ink this new guy?" And Coletta goes, "I get $30 a page. I need all the work I can get."
Right. don't know. But I do know this.
Take a look at the Grell covers, like that big Legion Treasury Edition.
Yep, there are two covers.
Yeah, take a look at that, and then open it up, and look at what Vince Coletta did to them.
Yep, it's awful. That's it. Now, by the way, I was thinking about asking him about that, but Coletta inked so much of his stuff, I'm wondering if he's, like, friends with him, and he's going to be one of these guys, unlike Gil Kane, who, what he did, would be like,
sure.
Hey, man, doesn't Vince Coletta suck? Oh, I don't agree with all. I think it was, okay, shit.
No, the word,
you think he'll
you
be
know,
defensive
were
about
you,
Coletta?
Were you there? Because, no, Gil Kane was very matter-of-fact about it. I was trying to be... diplomatic. And we were talking about some inking on somebody, and this kid was talking about he didn't know who Jack Kirby was. And I was just standing at this table that Gil Kane was doing sketches at, and this kid and I got into a conversation in front of Gil Kane, and Kane was just drawing and putting up with his crap. And when I said Vince Coletta, and I mentioned him inking Jack Kirby, which he didn't totally destroy, because I think he had a little bit of respect for Kirby, if not for the art, for the man, because I think he probably thought that Kirby could kick his ass if he screwed it up too much. But I was going to say, look, Vince Coletta may have been a nice guy, but he really was a bad inker. What got out of my mouth was, Vince Coletta may be a nice guy. Kane stopped. He looked up at me over his glasses that were down on the end of his nose. He laid his pencil down and said, Vince Coletta is not a nice guy.
Yep.
So I go by what
he said. Yep. He said, actually, he's not a nice guy, is what he said.
Yeah. And
that's exactly
there
how
were,
he said it.
There were things that... there were things in magazines where I think it might have been Comics Journal where somebody was talking about how Vince Coletta brought a newspaper clipping of an arrest, of his arrest for breaking and entering. And he allegedly had connections to the mob. And all he really, inkers get a bad rap as being just tracers. You just drag an ink line over something somebody's already drawn. That's all you are. There are people like, John Dell is a great inker. He makes great artists look fantastic. Vince Coletta is the person that they're talking about when they say tracer, because he erased backgrounds that were too complicated for him to draw. He did minimal lines on stuff. He didn't think something needed a line, or if he was in too much of a hurry, he just did what he wanted to do. Bill Matlow loved him because he got in, he did stuff, he worked really fast, and as he put it, he got in there, did the work, collected a check, and went home. So art really had nothing to do with it. But I would be surprised, because I talked to Kerry Gamble about Vince Coletta inking him on the Fantastic Four issue that he did a piece of. I have not talked to anybody who has been inked by Vince Coletta who has liked what he did to their work. I would be amazed if Mike Rowell could say, oh, yeah, he was fantastic. It was lovely. He really brought out everything in my work.
Yeah.
I got to ask him, though. I think I will ask him that. Like, didn't you want to get your arrow out of your quiver and shoot him in the hand, or is that why he was such a horrible inker? Did you shoot him in the hand?
It's going to be a rough weekend for a lot of reasons with Man of Rubber.
To me, it doesn't exist, and I've taken shit from people. For some reason, people think that it's going to be the greatest movie ever. And I had this opinion of it that, look, I don't need to see it. I really fucking do not need to see something that's basically a cash grab. And I know it's publication, it's movies, it's all a cash grab, but they're not going to grab my cash. I have a certain way that I think Superman looks and works for me, and much like Arlen, I have my opinion of it, And if you disagree with it, that's fine. I'm not going to kill you or come to your house and pee on your front door. I don't care what your opinion is. What I have is an almost 50-year association with the character. These people come in with a two or three year association with what they think character should be, not what it is, what it should be. And this thing about saying, we wanted a Superman the way he would look in the real world. Well, you know what he would look like in the real world? He'd look like me, walking around with a fucking towel on my neck. And that's another thing. I need to put this out there. All those people who call it underwear, does your underwear have belt loops? First of all, and if you're not cool with underwear on the outside, why are you so happy about the cape? I'm sorry, the tablecloth that he has on his neck. Because doesn't that look as ridiculous as wearing underwear on the outside of your pants?
Let me tell you something about the. All right. As soon as you call it underwear, I tune you out.
Yeah.
You have no credibility. No credibility. As soon as there's no more argument to be had. You're an idiot. It's not underwear. It's trunks. And as soon as anyone does that, I mean, they can say anything else in the argument that I'll at least entertain. But when they say that, they're not part of the argument anymore. They're part of the problem.
Right.
And they're just idiots. Sorry. You know, as fine as they're just doing it as a joke, but they call it undies,
right,
and shorts and all that. Look, they're trunks.
Yeah, Zack Snyder called
it. They're not underwear.
Henry Cavill called it undies.
He's an idiot.
In the little 13-minute preview they did on YouTube. Also, I saw Amy Adams talking about playing Lois Lane. And the girl interviewing her, the little hi, I'm doing my interview with a big movie star. She said, I'm so glad you did her as a redhead. And Amy Adams said, yeah, because we talked about it. And he said, you'd have to be dyeing your hair all the time. I'm sorry, you don't have money for hair dye, but you can do all this CGI shit with explosions and crap, and hair dye is an issue with you? How about a wig? How about you shave her fucking head and put a wig on it? Hair dye, you have to dye her hair. They didn't like the idea. It's going to be black. It's going to be so severe. And you're going to look like all the other Lois Lanes. Well, you know what? Noelle Neal didn't have black hair. Noelle Neal was the redheaded Lane.
Because of the spoilers that are all over the internet, I now know everything that happened. I'll still watch it when I can download it or some shit like that, so I don't have to listen to people saying, you ain't match it. But... So I know all that happens in this movie, and everything we thought, and people were saying, yeah, but you don't know. Now we know what happens in this
thing.
Yeah, we do. You know,
it's
horrible. No spoilering here, but it's horrible.
When Furious Fanboys broke all the spoilers about Star Trek into dampness, and somebody said, you don't know this, you haven't seen it, this guy's making it up, and then it all turned out to be true.
True.
Every bit of it. And we kind of knew it beforehand because we are not morons. We know how things are supposed to be done. And we also
know how Snyder
Hollywood
is. And we know how. Here's the difference between Snyder and Nolan. I'll tell you. Nolan is pretentious and ponderous to a point where he will make you wait for a whole movie to have any kind of action at all. If you look at his Batman movies, especially the second two. Whereas Snyder will just beat you over the friggin' head with it. And they say that, you know, again, after the 5,000 hours that you wait to see him in the shitty costume in this one, and I'm not spoiling anything, the rest is just nonstop mind-numbing action. Well, you know what? We want an action-packed Superman film, but if you don't have anything else and he's still badly characterized, the 15 millionth time they knock a building over, is it really all that great? You know. So, and again, I'm not spoiling anything because I know enough to know for a fact it's not Superman, but I'm going to watch it anyway. I'm just not going to pay a dime to support it. I'm not.
Yeah.
And I mean, I actually, part of me wants to just do that and get it over with. But it's, man, it's a good thing I don't live near Biloxi.
All right, another thing that's troublesome about this movie is the change for its own sake crap. Change
horrible.
For its own sake, anytime you say change, that means that something has been created and somebody else came along and thought they could fix it. And I can fix this to be palatable for a big mass audience. But didn't a movie called Aquaman starring Christopher Reeve make a big splash with the general movie-going public back in the late 70s? Didn't everybody almost universally love that movie? Yeah, there's people now who think it's overrated.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
well, that's then we were all
people
were
now
nuts
who
over
cannot.
It.
There are people now who cannot visualize a guy hanging from wires with a, you know, sitting on a plate or something that's molded to his body. Now it all has to be done inside of a computer. Back then, we didn't expect this crap. We didn't expect Star Wars when it came out. We were used to, you know, I don't want to say Rocket Ship XM, but that's pretty much what we were used to. I would say Battle Beyond the Stars was the last space opera-type movie that did a bunch of goofy spaceships the way they were done back in the 40s and 50s. But Superman came along. They did rear screen projection. They had a limited number of effect shots. And it looked so damn good. There are a few scenes in it that are kind of annoying because the color of his costume doesn't it looks green at some points.
Yeah.
Because it was not bad cinematography, it wasn't matched up. But now somebody could go in with a computer and correct all of that stuff or create all of that stuff. But when somebody comes along and says, "I have created this," no, you didn't. Did you know that in the first season of Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, it was created by Deborah Joy Levine? Can you get your head around that? Some person, not because she was a woman, some person said, "I created this," when we know damn good and well Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster created Superman,
right,
and Lois Lane, Jimmy Olsen, and all that. But after that, it became developed by Deborah Joy Levine. So somebody comes along and says, "I created Superman." Sorry, you're full of shit. You changed stuff. You took off the trunks. You gave him a gigantic cod, which if they wanted it in the real world, why is he walking around with his dick hanging out? I mean, what is that?
Look, I can't wait till I'm at least able to start just going off on it. I'm going to wait, whether I hate the shit or not. Gina, thank you for popping in there. Whether I hate it or not, I'm not going to spoil or anything on it, because I want to wait. But I can't wait to go off on it.
Well, I did say that I was going to watch Star Trek Into Darkness, and then I would be one of those informed commentators. Well, I'm not going to give Man of Rubber the time of day, because basically what it is it's telling me that something that I've liked for so long has been done wrong, and we're going to do it right. And all of these people who claim to be Superman fans, like the We Love Superman page on Facebook, they're posting all this crap about Snyder and Cavill and all these people doing a great job. I'm sure in real life they're wonderful human beings. I saw an interview last week with Henry Cavill on the Jay Leno Tonight Show, where he came across as a really nice guy and talked about how his brothers and his younger brother was so thrilled that he's playing Superman, and they're all thrilled. And he, when he found out about it, he called everybody in his family and nobody answered the phone. And it was funny because he said, I wasn't able to tell them anything anyway, but he was so excited. And now everybody knows.
Yeah.
And, he's got this big physical regimen that he has to stick to play Superman in a movie. And when Leno asked him, you know, all your brothers are, his brothers I think are all older than him, and one of them is a Royal Marine. And he said, my oldest brother can kick my ass. So he seemed kind of funny, really personable guy. This is not a Superman movie. To be sure.
Yeah, I never had a problem with Cavill. If they cast him, he don't really care. He doesn't matter. I mean, to me, it's Nolan and Snyder and Goyer. that are
the
problem.
It's the thing that's called creative, the creative direction they're taking it in, and it's gone so far away from the character. It's as if you were casting Ellen DeGeneres as Popeye.
That could happen.
It doesn't mesh.
We have a 288, but my 228 rather. Let me say, Erico 228. Who do we have there?
Who, me?
Yo. Oh, sorry, yo. Man. See, I didn't know if you were. I wasn't sure if you were Scott or not. I'm sorry to bug you, bud.
It's cool. Oh, just for a ticket sales report. The damn movie opened in my mall today.
Yeah.
I got to the mall about 3:45. I don't know what the fuck everyone was doing in the parking lot. Found out tonight the parking lot's still full. It's Man of Rubber. Walmart was giving away tickets. So
theater figured
they'd do about 50 or so people. They got like 250 people in that big. It's a big screen TV theater. It doesn't really count. So,
but they sell
pizza and there. So
it was kind of a Walmart showing. You had to buy the tickets at Walmart to go to an early and advanced screening of it. So.
That's what's
going
on. They're doing it in a theater in a closet. That's what they're doing. So, whoopee.
2 hours.
I'm sure I'll find
minutes.
Out tomorrow morning who all the losers were that saw it, and they'll clue me in at the mall. So,
yeah.
Hey,
well,
what happened to all these Star Trek Into Darkness people who were going to get?
Hey, when the week after it debuted at my mall, it was gone. It was doing so poorly, they booted it out for something that would actually bring them money. Yeah, I'm calling it a bomb. They'll make their money back on DVD and those stupid Ferners will slurp up anything from America.
Well,
but
they might,
in this country,
but they're going to make a lot of money.
I don't know, man.
I hope, but we'll see. I really do hope you're right. I hope it bombs. I hope he fails. I hope it bombs because, you know what? It needs to for a lot of reasons. Again, I guess I need to go back to Mike Grell a little bit. But, I mean, it. I know. Minimus got cut off. I don't know why I lost him. He just fell off of the damn line there. But, you know, because this is really crucial. I loved Avengers. That was the right way to do it. And I know everything that happens in this one. And, you know, what's the old saying that you like to attribute to me? But it's really both of us. And it's, crap rewarded is crap repeated.
Yep.
And this thing is just—it's bad news because it's going to Superman the comics has been ruined forever, you know. But you kind of go, well, maybe there'd be a good movie once in a while, even though there really hasn't been. But you kind of hope. But now, if this one's rewarded, they're going to start. You're going to keep making them like this. I mean, if it makes a lot of money, that's a fact. It's not going to change. It'll change formulas that work. And if it makes a lot of money, that's what you get forever. And, of course, again, if the young audience that gives them all that money, wants it, and I suspect that they do, they're going to think this is what Superman is, and it'll just be another indication that, you know, we're losing touch and losing any kind of artistic integrity, losing any kind of, you know, good sense of what is a good film or not. Because now I can tell you, I'm not going to spoil or anything, even though it comes pretty spoiled, but, man, this thing is really bad. But it'll be – unfortunately, it's aimed exactly at the kind of crowd that goes to see or that wants to see this kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, what the hell is it, those of you that have seen it, Gray Market, what's with General Zod's spaceship?
What's with it?
Yeah, like what the hell is that? It's like a Martian war machine or something? Like, I didn't know General Zod had a spaceship.
He does now.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's – I can't really go much into it other than, wow. It's just – what do you see?
Why don't you spoil it? It's already crap. It's like Into Darkness.
Yeah, no, I'm not going to do it. Not tonight. I mean, I've read everything, but I have not watched it yet. I'm going to watch it only because I have to, because I believe in – you should if you're going to bitch. But I've already checked it. I know everything that happens in it.
And it sucks, but while simultaneously and at the same time, it blows, right?
Put it to you like this. Everything I thought about it going in is confirmed. Everything I knew that I would not like, that I would not want them to do, Well, there you go.
All I had to do was see the trailer where Pa Kent basically says that, you know, his son should let people die so that he doesn't let them know that there's a Superman out there. Should I have let them drown? Maybe. Bullshit. Pa Kent would never
do that. Now I know even more than that. And what I know, dude, wow. I'm not going to say it. I'll tell you later, but holy
anyhow,
crap.
Like, back to Mike Grell. It's good.
Well,
you know,
Mike Grell.
Good stuff. I'm talking shit.
Right.
Mike
right.
Grell is greatness.
Yep. Sorry, Glenn's Arlen Schumer. We were ragging on Arlen Schumer for not liking Mike Grell earlier because he started up with me about it. So, but, I talked a lot about some of my favorite Grell stuff earlier. You know, his Superboy in the Legion. Yeah, it's actually his Tarzan strips. You know, his Warlord, his Green Lantern, Green Arrow, and of course John Sable. If it might be, my sentimental favorite is the Superboy in the Legion stuff. But as far as things that he created, wrote and drew, John Sable, and I touched on this a good bit in the early part of the show, how the 80s was such an amazing renaissance for independent comics, and leading the pack, one of the best of all of them was, for a good long run, his John Sable series. That was one of my favorites.
Yep, you know? No superpowers, it's all in the real world. But it's before
right?
We had techno-thrillers in books, we had techno-thrillers in the comics. Every piece of technology that John Sable used was real. It looked science fictional, but it's just because you weren't used to seeing it down the road.
Yep. I've never asked him, and you might know because you know a lot more about John Sable than me, and I'm thinking about trying to get some questions to ask him. You know, Sable was a lot like Paladin in some ways, anyway. He was a freelance.
His symbol was a sable antelope. The profile of it there.
Right.
It's like Paladin's business card.
But do you know if he was thinking Paladin? I mean, thinking about Paladin? I mean, do we know that or no?
I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me. Rel's a hit.
I'm going to ask him something along those lines, I think. When I interview him.
Yeah, don't forget to mention Star Slayer, his other
creation. Star Slayer was
Book of Comics, then jump ship to Prince
right.
Comics to continue it, along with John Sable, freelance number one. So.
Well, yeah, exactly. And Star Slayer was one that, first of all, when that came out, it was one of the first, not the first, but one of the first, along with Kirby's,
Captain
Victory.
Yep. He was in good company there. Grell was being published by someone publishing greatness. So.
Oh yeah, it was excellent, and it was of course again it was Pacific Comics, and Star Slayer was a book like a lot of these books that took a while to come out between each issue, which was frustrating because really the first issue kind of set things up. You're like, wow, this is pretty cool, and then boom, it's gone, and you're like, oh my god, what the? But it was really good, and of course, in issue number two debuted one of the greatest independent comics characters ever, the Rocketeer by Dave Stevens, the late great. Dave Stevens, and that book. I don't know if I bought every issue. I think with both with Sable and with Star Slayer, I bought every issue till he left the series. Each one of them. He left both of them, didn't he? At some point.
Yeah, but Ostrander took over and did a great job on Star Slayer. He wrote John Sable until the end of it, but he had various artists filling in for him because he was doing other things. So
right.
Then Marv Wolfman did Sable: Return of the Hunter, which it's sort of like the fourth season of Airwolf and the third season Millennium. Let's just pretend that never happened.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. Well, what can you do? But. It was still, and I just couldn't buy it. When he left the art chores, I think you probably bought them. I stopped, and I was like, wow. And didn't he do it with Star Slayer also, or did he just leave the art?
I can't remember now. After all, he took off, and John Ostrander took over. And Ostrander did a great job at it. So Truman took over the art.
Okay,
so,
that's right.
And then they debuted Grimjack in the back there, and then Grimjack got his own spinoff series. So,
Right, and that's absolutely
that
right.
Had the big crossover with Star Slayer, and then Grimjack got his own comic. So
loved Grimjack when it was Ostrander and Truman. I love that book. That's another one. So
yeah, he was at Howard Days last weekend. He was the guest of honor.
Wow.
So that yeah, my buddy just told me about that. He's cool people.
Wow.
Truman's greatness.
That would have been nice to go to.
One of these days,
sure.
We'll make the pilgrimage. After all, Grandpa says he's gone, we've got to go.
That's right, Grandpa. He did. Well, we'll do it. We'll make it happen, dude.
Speaking of which, I need to remember to ask Mike Grell if he'd read any Robert E. Howard, because Star Slayer had a heavy Robert E. Howard influence there. We know Warlord was very Edgar Rice Burroughs influenced.
Right.
So.
Right, no question about it. That's, yeah, and if you think of some of these to help me or to remind me, I would like to write some of them down. You know, that goes. So, when you see me Saturday, if you help me remember some of those questions to ask Mike Grell, that would be helpful because, you know, I'm going to forget all kind of crap. I'd like to ask him some questions about his Legion of Superheroes work. I would like to ask him Tarzan, you know, just the range of it, basically. But I got to come up with some other stuff, too, you know. So.
And we need to find out what happened to all the artwork for Batman John Sable.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh, please help me remember that one. Hell yeah. Man.
All we ever saw was that Comic Buyer's Guide cover with Batman swinging in the background and Sable firing an M60. Or at least looking like he's about to fire an M60. So then all of a sudden they're going to wait and release it when the Batman movie comes out. And, you know, we didn't get
right.
that for a couple, 3 years after that. And, of course, no Batman John Sable.
Yeah. That's a damn shame. Damn shame. That would have been so cool. We've got to ask him that. Again, also, like you were just talking about, ask him about some of his influences. Like you just mentioned, that's the kind of thing. Because, again, I've read interviews with him, and I know you have. But it's not the same. If you want to just kind of get him to talk about some of his, and not only his influences like those, like you mentioned, like Howard and Edgar Rice Burroughs and those things like that, but also what were some of his artists, you know, favorite artists coming up. I always like hearing about what some of the great artists, the ones they liked.
Especially he'll praise Kirby. All the great ones praise.
Well, yeah, naturally, because they know that's why they're great ones, because they know. They know the truth of the great Kirby, of course.
Hey, no Kirby, no comics. They wouldn't have a career without Jack and Joe.
Right. Definitely. Too true, Duder. Too true. What the hell am I doing? Oh, sorry, I was having a...
Oh, we also need to ask about his John Sable novel.
Did he do it?
We got
the novel.
We got that one novel, and then all of a sudden...
The one novel.
Okay, come on. Yeah, one. That's it. Hardcover, then paperback.
Right.
I bought both. I showed the flag and bought both, and then we got nothing else after that. Damn it.
Wow.
And, I replaced
and what about,
that after Katrina.
Is he still doing Sable online?
I haven't seen anything. So
I know
if he is, they haven't talked about it. They haven't collected it yet. So
right. Okay. I've got some of the trades from that. They've done trades up, but not many. I mean, they've done a zillion of them, I think.
Yeah.
He's done a
I had to buy the staple packs because it's John Sable, and
right.
I have to. So then I bought the trades as well. But, you know, my first independent comic book, John Sable Freelance number 1, March of 83.
Right.
So I bought all the Stapleback comics when they came out originally. I had to buy the new ones, even though they were just miniseries. Had to have them.
Yeah,
you talk about hen's teeth, getting a hold of Star Slayers and John Sables. It's like, damn, can't find those things anywhere. And online doesn't count. I want to buy them at a funny book store. I'm sure I could go online and find the suckers, but, you know, where the heck are they in the funny book stores? Again, hen's teeth. People get them. They don't give them up.
Well, what about the movie? Do you think we should, the TV show. You think we should mention that to them, or probably just kind of forget it like it should be forgotten?
Well, let's bring it up, but just be prepared for an eye roll for it. So.
Okay. And well, Claude and I were talking about this earlier. Minimus was talking about this earlier. Should we mention? I don't know. You know, did you hate Vince Coletta eking your pencils all the time? Because it sucks. I don't know, man. I'm not so sure.
Well, Coletta inked his work. It's a valid question. So we can see what he has, if he matches what Gil Kane said.
Yeah. Yeah, we just Minimus just mentioned that. So, what do I want to know? I want to know if he hated Vince Coletta. I'm gonna mention it. I'm gonna say, did you have any inkers you hated? Yeah, because later he started inking. Even on Warlord, after a while, he started inking his own stuff. So it had to be that he couldn't stand it. Because almost, I don't know if it was the entire run or not, but almost the whole thing on Legion, he was inked by Coletta. Holy crap.
Oh, good Lord.
As Gil Kane called Coletta, DC Comics' first sanctioned abortionist, who erased friggin' background, except when he did Kirby, for some reason, like, you know, so early. He didn't do it to Kirby, probably because he was scared. But, yeah, so I don't know. I definitely want to ask him about that, because, you know, how often do you get a chance to ask one of the, you know, the greats of the Silver or Bronze Age, in this case Bronze, about Vinnie Coletta? What's that, TGU? What is his favorite? What is Trekkie Gal thinks I should ask? What is his favorite bar soap? You know what, TG? I will ask him that. No, I won't. Because we already know. I mean, it's John Sable. Wash it clean like a freelance. So I don't even know what it is. I don't know what that means. So I don't know. We're coming up with some pretty good questions here to ask him.
Yeah, well, you got 24 hours to listen to the podcast here to write down our questions to make sure, just in case we both forget.
Yeah, like I ever listened back to this crap. Bad enough I do it, must listening to my own stupid crap. What in the hell? I don't even know. Yeah, I know that's not really Pam writing those questions, Ashmore Goodhart. Ask him what his first sketch was. There you go. I'd like to be able to get a sketch from him. You are going to get one, aren't you? Are you gonna...
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I kicked in the money. I paid my money for a John Sable head sketch.
Nice.
As long as, Trailer Park Deadpool there remembered to pass the money on to Scott.
Okay. Well, I'm sure he did. So, yeah, you just, what was it? God. Jesus Christ.
What?
All right. Trailer Park Deadpool. You out of your fucking mind. I love it.
You saw him last year.
Holy crap.
Full with a beer gut. Like, I've been sitting around watching baseball all week. Just been drinking beers. Killing flies.
Well, Deadpool. So, yeah. Anyway, so that'll be good. We'll ask him all that show. Crap, I don't even know why I'm alive anymore. But it'll be cool. I'm sorry, I'm having trouble with the stupid switchboard again. God damn it. All right. Well, let's see. I'm gonna take a break real quick and try to get the stupid switchboard fixed to everyone. And since it is... since we have something that has really nothing to do with the real Superman coming out tomorrow, and everyone's going to start, some will probably be mistaking it for real Superman, let's celebrate some of the real stuff real quick. I'll be right back.
There we go.
Yeah.
Faster than a speeding bullet. Powerful than a locomotive. able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird.
It's a plane.
It's Superman. Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, who can change the course of mighty rivers, bend steel in his bare hands, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights a never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way.
Monday morning quarterback, Mr. Wheelchair General, George Reeves, Superman. Yes, and of course, I know you don't like him, but I loved Christopher too. So, with the Christopher without the S on the end of his last name, I love both of them. All right, TG, thank you for being here.
Thank TG,
appreciate it. Yep. Slap that head upside the head for me.
Yeah, Knox says night TG as well.
And he does. I heard him say it. So. I really did hear him say something. A cat talked on this show. Wow. He said it again. Did he really say that, or was that you?
No, that's Knox.
He's talking?
Now he's rubbing the phone because it's TG. So, yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. TG? TG, the Knox, Texas cat, spoke to you. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Well.
My boy.
There you go, man. But, yeah, Sable was one of my favorite ones in the 80s. Really, we got one of these days we got to do a show again where we talk about the comics of the 80s or the comics of Renaissance or the independent comics of the 80s. Really, the beginnings of comic shops, for the, you know, the comic shop phenomenon.
That's when I worked at one.
Me too, and owned one.
You worked at one too.
So, worked at them, owned them, all that stuff. And yes, it is. It was a time when Sable was one of the early ones that really caught my attention, because I remember when we would see these. I saw this order form for the first time. Not, you know, that this distributor. That's how I ended up starting going to work for Mouthland Comics, but. And they would have these order forms of all these comics listed on there. And, you know, you see the Marvel stuff, you see the DC stuff. This is when comic books were superheroes or funny animals, and there were some Western comics here and there. But, I mean, for the most part, you know, it was these genres, and it was Marvel and DC. There was a little bit of Carlton out there, you know, a couple other ones. But, and all of a sudden, you started seeing, you know, Cerebus, what the hell's that? You know, what is this? And I remember, you know, I ordered Cerebus. It was a pretty small order form. I ordered Cerebus because I just wanted to know what the hell it was, which is a dumb reason. I also saw this thing. I said, The Comics Journal. Huh? Could that be something like that talks about a magazine that talks about comics? Of course, it wasn't. It was indeed. And I saw Cerebus, and you started hearing about things like ElfQuest. And, you know, I found out about Judge Dredd. And I started realizing, wait a minute, there are things out there other than Marvel and DC.
Yes.
And there are companies, you know, with different types of characters and comics than Marvel and DC. And that you can only get at comic shops. How cool is that, since you helped to start the first one down here? Comics that you could only get at a comic shop. Wow. And early on in that, I know Sable was first comics, was at First Comics, and I'm trying to remember the year. Wait, what are we ballparking that at? 83? Okay.
83, that's why it's like
this is the 30th anniversary of John Sable. I'm going to hassle Grell about that. Like,
wow.
You got nothing? Nothing new?
There you go. Definitely hassle him about that. Sure. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, Scott tried to call him during free comic book day, but he had a gig, so he didn't answer his phone because probably he couldn't hear it at the convention. So,
right. Makes sense. Well, you know, hey, look, that's great, though, that he's going to be there. It's an amazing, you know, thing that he was able to have him. That's, and I talked to Scott about this the other night a little bit. There are very few, because you know what I think about modern comics. Don't have to go into it. But there are very few comic book professionals left, let's put it that way, rather writer or artist left alive, that I would go out of my way to go get to meet and see. Now, I got to meet Grell for a minute before and got his autograph and stuff, so, but there are very few of them left that we'll ever meet now. And Grell ranks up there with him. He's one of them. And Scott said the same thing. It's like that. He is one that, yeah, always one, you know, he's one of the few left out there that I'm just a huge fan of and would always wanted a chance to meet and talk to and stuff like that, because so many of them are gone. Almost all of them from the Golden Age are gone. There's very few left from the Silver Age, and there are some from the Bronze Age still around, but even those are some of them are starting to become rare. So,
yeah, we're running out of our legends, damn it. We're going to end up stuck with Howard Chaykin and a bunch of Image wankers.
Well, that's true. Images, so, yeah. But for a short stint there through the 80s, man, the alternative comics, there were so many of them. And, of course, like anything else, and this, look, did I just think this is going to be human nature forever? Like anything else, something really good comes out, and it catches on, and then so much garbage floods the market that it chases all the good stuff out. That's why you had the black and white glut, the independent black and white glut of the 80s. And that's why every time something good comes out, 50 billion imitators come out, flood the market, and destroy the good stuff.
Yep, black and white parody comic. Industry held hostage. Remember, every month in Amazing Heroes, they do the list of the number of black and white parody comics that came out that month. So.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's, man, that happens. That's just now. You got. I guess it took me a while to realize it. You know, you get older and you finally start realizing stuff. You go, yeah, maybe I should have known that a long time ago. That's one of those. That's one that makes me go, you know what? I'm finally getting the hang of this. Yes, every time something great comes out, they're going to flood the market until it just turns to crap.
Well, hey, remember when Simon and Kirby came up with 3D comics? What happens?
Yep.
Everybody does it. Romance
million.
Comic. Never been done before. It's a huge success for Simon and Kirby. What happens? Everybody does romance comics. It's like, you know, success begets, well, attempts at success. Or in this case, success begets excess. So.
It does indeed. Yeah. But, I don't know. This really worries me. I have a feeling that Man of Rubber is going to catch on, because there will be people who will watch that and think that's Superman, and it'll just lead to more garbage. And I've been saying for a while, and I loved Avengers. I know you haven't seen it yet. You need to. I loved it because it was comic book characters done the right way. I think that I don't know. You would think that with the money that it made, people would learn and try to be more like it. I'm not saying imitate it, but, you know, and maybe, and hopefully the next Avengers films will, but because the Christopher Nolan Batman crap was rewarded, especially the second two movies, you get Superman done the same way. Now, even though with all the problems of the Christopher Nolan Batman films, you could at least understand there being a dark tone to an extent. Why? And, this shows you how ignorant suits are. When they say, well, look, it's superhero. This guy made money with us on this other superhero. So we'll put him in charge of this one because he made money on the last one. Because they don't understand anything about the character. There was a time when that would be a fallacy. And you'd go, well, look, that's stupid. It's not going to work. But that's a time when I think there were some standards out there. This time, it might work. And when it does, then, I don't know. As great as Avengers was for me, they're probably still going to – they might be more inclined to use Man of Rubber as the template than Avengers. At least for the DC movies, Avengers will probably still be the one for the Marvel ones right now. I don't know. Which is, I guess, would be decent. But we'll have to see, I guess.
Yeah, I'm still the one lone member of the group that hasn't seen Avengers yet, damn it.
Yeah, you'd see it. I mean, I really enjoyed it. Did you see any of the other Marvel movies or no?
Nope.
Oh, well. It's kind of good
to see. I need to see the first Iron Man. I need to see Captain America. And I need to see the Avengers.
Incredible Hulk I actually kind of liked. I mean, it was way better than the stupid Amy Hulk. And it wasn't super great, but it had a good battle, a good big Hulk battle at the end there. And it was, again, more of a comic book than a lot of these. You know, I thought it was pretty decent. And it fits in there. You watch the first Iron Man, you watch Incredible Hulk. Yeah, you could take or leave Iron Man 2, just watch it for the hell of it. You know, Thor at least has good points. And then watch Cap. And then watch Avengers. And I think you'll have a pretty good time. And to me, it all culminates. They did a beautiful job on the origin of Captain America. That's something. That's a must-see just for the origin part, the first half of the movie in particular. And then, if you enjoy those well enough, you'll have a great time with Avengers. And some people don't, I guess. But I thought it's like a movie serial, really, those movies, in that sense. So.
Well, this is the film version of the Marvel Universe, the way it was before, all the various comics tying together. So
it's like that. There's a little bit too much. There's a bit much of the Ultimate type thing in it for my taste, but because it's a movie universe, I can live with it. Because they're so entertaining, I kind of turn a blind eye to it. It's not what I would prefer them do, but it's not too much of it to sour me on it. And another thing that, again, without spoiling, that concerns me about Man of Rubber, that from everything I know about it, I know all that happens in it, just about almost not all the, a lot of the details. It's not kid friendly. They've made a Superman movie that's not kid friendly, but then they never do that. Nothing's kid friendly anymore.
Oh, dear. Well, I saw a grandpa with his two young granddaughters going to see it tonight.
Of course.
I
don't know if he's going to...
I don't think he's going to be happy with the way the movie is, and he's damn sure, if it's not kid-friendly, going to be happy with his two little granddaughters. I mean, less than 10 years old.
It's very violent. Let's put it that way. No prude, but I'm just saying, you could be a little too violent with a movie that's supposed to be for all... I mean, Avengers... The violence in Avengers, in the film, there's a lot of destruction and a big battle scene at the end, but there's no depiction of people being hurt and being killed. You know, because the comic books, remember the oldest, at least nobody got hurt. Avengers was kid-friendly. It had enough, it had darker moments, it had, you know, the characters had angst, the characters weren't Dudley Do-Rights, they were the typical Marvel fallible type of characters. But when they had the big fight scenes and stuff like that, you didn't have to show people being killed or destroyed. Don't look like that's the case with Man of Rubber, from what I'm hearing, from what I've read. You know, so if you take my meaning, if you get my drift.
Great, a Superman movie that isn't for kids to go see. Terrific.
Well. And he's a crybaby, and he mopes around. Again, I'm walking that edge, not in spoiling any details, but...
Man of Emo.
And, the problem is, he's really that. One problem is, as far as, you know, Snyder is good at making big visuals and stuff, this will be the first time we have a Superman, it's not really Superman, but a movie where at least it's going to have all kind of really, you know, Superman should have a lot of big action in it and sequence. It'll have that. It'll be chock full of that once the... 4 hours lead up to him actually putting on the horrible wetsuit. Problem is, it still won't have any heart. It has no heart and soul and none of what Superman is all about. That's what I'm thinking is not going to matter. today's lamestream audience, and they're going to suck it up and say, "Well, yeah, deal with it. Superman had to change. You can't accept change," and they're going to accept Superman not being Superman. They're going to make excuses for it. I'm just hoping, just like I was very disappointed in 2009 when more hardcore Trek fans didn't stick to what's right and say, "Look, this should not be done to Superman to Star Trek." And then within the dumbness, some of the ones who did inexplicably like the 2009 one, I'm proud of them because at least they didn't like this one. A lot of people didn't like it in the dumbness. Some did, but a lot of people said, no, this is too much. And they, for various reasons, they didn't like the movie. They didn't think they should screw with Khan or whatever. I'm hoping this time people who are giving the thing a chance, and I don't understand. I understand watching it. I just don't understand being excited about it, knowing what we know about it, but giving it the chance and all that stuff is one thing. I'm hoping, though, when they watch it, they'll be fair and say, look, and knowing what we know about it, they'll go, look, this is not what Superman is supposed to be. And I hope they just won't jump on board and just take it. That's what I'm hoping. If they watch it, fine. I hope they don't just take it. I hope they at least they said, okay, I watched it now, and that's wrong. They should not do that to Superman. In spite of they might have had fun watching the big fight scenes and stuff, although that can get monotonous too, if that's all there is.
There'll I'm be hoping lots of whip hands and fancy shots, so it looks like a video game, because I'm sure there's a Man of Rubber video game out there somewhere.
Look, this is Zack Snyder. I didn't like the way he handled visually, he had some great visuals in Watchmen, but he screwed the story all up and had a lot of really idiotic, over-the-top camp that just destroys the movie, but then it'll never be on a par with the comic, and it doesn't belong in the same universe with the comic. It's nowhere close to it anyway. It's just a big camp fest popcorn movie, it's fun to look at in some ways. There's some great scenes that look just like the comic, but it was a bunch of horribly idiotic, over-the-top action scenes. And that didn't work in a horrible way. They screwed the ending up. So that's his MO. 300 was perfect for that, and it was kind of fun because it didn't matter. It was all over the top for fun. I got dragged, as I mentioned earlier, to a piece of crap called Sucker Punch that he did, that Snyder did. And boy, was I sad that happened. I don't know why that happened to me. I don't know why I let it happen to me. And it was horrible. And it is full. Once it gets going for what it's doing, you talked about a video game, it literally is watching a mind-numbingly dull, dank, ugly-looking, repulsive, just silly, hyper-violent video game with no story and no substance and no heart to it. That's what Sucker Punch was. That's what he did to Watchmen. It's what 300 was, but at least 300 was entertaining. That was kind of – there was nothing, no preconceptions there for me, but it was still pretty dumb. That's what Man of Rubber is. And I just hope people who go see it, we'll see that that's just not what should be done with Superman. But I have pride. I don't have a lot of hope for that to be the case. Just don't think so. So
This is a Superman for people with lowered expectations. You're a scumbag. You feel useless about the world. So let's give you a Superman that's just like you, just like we got with Gay Boy Kirk in Jar Jar Trek. He's a complete loser. He's nothing. He's a scumbag, but somehow he rises to the top through nothing. He just does.
And if you watch the movies,
let's make one
incompetent
that fits the audience that we're targeting here.
Right. He's incompetent all the way. And this is a recurring theme with all modern movies, the quote-unquote protagonist, or certainly not heroes, the main character, whatever you want to call him. It happened with this last Spider-Man movie. It happens with all of them. They're all tortured, angst-ridden, emo, the term emo, people now that are just pathetic. That
pathetic little whiny, weeny, whiny wussy boys.
They're whining. Yeah. And that's not what Superman is. I mean, that doesn't mean, look, Spider-Man is supposed to be whiny, and they even overdid it with that last stupid Spider-Man movie. You go, all right, look, Spider-Man's got problems, and he fucks up, and he's dumb out, and he's like, you know, he does whine sometimes, but they didn't even get that right. He's just horrid. In that horrible movie, that was terrible, Spider-Man was.
Yeah, pity I missed that one.
Man. Pity you missed that one. You should watch it. No, you shouldn't. Don't. You know, I think you might like Cap and Avengers, but just don't, you know. Don't waste your time on Spider-Man. Well, anyway, where were we? We were nowhere, because we never are anywhere, are we? We're nowhere. We're nowhere and no time. So, I should have done
the zero room of podcasts.
This is the zero room podcast, as a matter of fact. I'm hoping to find a way to see it so we can, my buddy Matt and a couple of people want to review it with me. And that's the one thing that might make me, if I can't get a download, go see it, because I really want to tear it to pieces on this show. Not like I'm doing now, because obviously I know what happens in it, but you need to see it if you're going to do a real review.
Yeah. Yeah, but we ain't paying money for it.
I don't want to, man.
We're not going to support crap.
No. You know what? I will support crap sometimes, just in two instances. Jar Jar Drivel and now this, because of who they put. If it had been another director and it just looked shitty, but it wasn't somebody. But the fact that they gave this to Nolan and Snyder is the big reason why I don't want to even, you know, because I'll go watch any old piece of crap. And if it sucks, eh, whatever. But this one was a special case. I was like, it's Nolan. You know, these people put Nolan in front of this thing. Goyer, the idiot writer, one of the guy who actually wrote Superman denouncing a citizenship, which someone thought that or okay. Who wrote the dreary Dark Knight movies? I don't know. And unfortunately, look, this modern generation is eating this dystopian crap up, and it's a little disturbing, to be honest with you. In a serious way, the fact that this is the kind of culture, poop culture, as I like to call it, that we have, that will sit still and even accept versions of great superheroes warped into this kind of darkness not good. It's not good, man. It's not. I mean, in all seriousness, what does it say about us? Where are we right now when we can when people will say, yeah, all right, that's just the way it should be, man, but why? Why should Superman be that way? And I'm going to spoil
it. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
People are reveling in that degeneracy, that debasement of a hero, they're loving it. They're just lapping it up, thinking it's the greatest thing ever, that this is the way it should be. Like, yeah, you're right. What does that say about our modern society? What does that say about the target demographic for that audience, for that film? Hell, what's it say about modern comic readers?
Well, and speaking of that, exactly, because there was we talked about the Screwed 52 a lot.
Yeah,
and
41.
And how horrible it is. Yeah, they got I don't know, something like that. But someone actually, our good buddy Tori, who had to leave early, he posted a picture in the BBB of the new issue of what they're calling this horrible, you know, the Superboy comic that's going on through the Screwed 52, the latest issue. I guess it's the latest issue. And it's got him in the depths of Hive with Superboy, their excuse for Superboy, who's repugnant enough. It says, with Crypto at his side. They've got Crypto. And I'm going to tell you something, dude. I cannot do justice to how horrible he looks. I wish you could. I know you're not in the chat room, are you?
Me, no.
I was going to send a picture. Wow. I mean, wow, dude. This fucking thing is horrible. It is disgusting, the new crypto. I mean, not surprising. No one's surprised. Whoever is still in the chat room, you can look at the new crypto and marvel at its brilliance. More like puke at its disgustingness. I mean, it's disgraceful. He looks like he's got sharp teeth. Looks like a friggin', I don't know why they even think he's a dog. He looks like a damn cat or maybe sort of a cross between a white tiger with big pointy ears and a evil scowling cat type of a face. The whiskers coming out, the sharp claws. It looks like a targ, I guess. Yeah, that's crypto, they're calling him. Star Wolf. Yeah, it's disgusting. Disgusting. Well, everyone, for the last couple seconds here, I'm going to run out. We're going to have a good time hanging out with we'll see you, by the way, Saturday, dude, hanging out with Mike Grell. And I appreciate everyone being here tonight. And all we can do is kind of celebrate the real Superman as much as we can instead of Man of Rubber. So, all right, bro, I'll see you Saturday.
Okey-doke, man. I'll be there before noon.
All right, buddy. Superman, at least we still love you at Clobber Time. So here you are.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Superman. Yes, Superman. Strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman. Who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for a great metropolitan newspaper, fights the never-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. Legends of the Universe, Superman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Aquaman, and those three junior super friends, Wendy, Marvin, and Wonder Dog. Their mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Yeah, and then to kill people and destroy shit and be all moody and crybaby-ish and be a bunch of pussies. Yeah, that's not their mission. Good. All right, buddy. Well, I'm out of here, bro.
Okie doke, man. I'll see you around noon on Saturday.
All right, buddy. See you. Later, man. Bye.
Later, man.